Romans chapter number 12. I want to read a few verses here. The Bible says, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, not but condensed men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit." Verse number 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Dearly beloved, verse number 19, "Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Hold your place there and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 26. The Bible says in verse number 27, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Father, would you help us tonight as we look into these portions of Scripture? As we open your word, I pray that you would help us learn something that would cause us to be more like Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, you don't have to raise your hand. In your heart, I would like for you to answer this question. Has anyone ever hurt you? Have you ever been hurt? Has someone wronged you? Has anyone ever done something that it's just hurt? It may have not been done on purpose. It may have not been done on purpose to hurt you, but you've been hurt. Have you ever been offended? You know, you can come to the house of God, and if you're here any length of time, you know you can be offended. Matter of fact, some think that Christians should never offend, but the fact of the matter is we do offend, and we do get offended, don't we? Now, I don't want you to raise your hand. Remember, I've only been here a couple weeks, so I don't know anything happening in anybody's individual life. I just know human nature. We have, at some point in our life, we've been hurt. Right now, maybe for some, you are thinking about someone that has hurt you. Someone that has said something. Someone that has done something. You know, it doesn't matter what you do in your life, we should follow biblical principles described in the Bible. If you through business or through play, through education, church, child rearing, there are biblical principles that each one of us should follow, and the reason why is they work. Biblical principles work. If we as Christians will follow what God has put in His Word for us to follow, it works every time. No one has ever followed the Word of God and it's not worked. God's promises are sure. His principles are always right. And in life, at times, we go through situations and at times we come across, unfortunately, hurt. But you know, God has a principle, God has a plan for every one of us to follow when we get hurt. You know, God set up and gave us principles upon these things. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 14, the Bible says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not." Now, the world would tell you that doesn't work. The world will tell you this: if someone hurts you, what do they say? Get them back. And make sure they know. But God's principles are this: bless them which persecute you, and curse not. On the cross, you know, on the cross, Christ was persecuted, and you know what he said? "Father, forgive them." Here we find, "Bless them that persecute you," and God did. You know, they put Christ on the cross, and they mocked him, and they beat him, and they lied about him. And you know what Christ said on the cross? "Father, forgive them." Isn't it a wonderful thing that God gives us a principle, and he follows it himself? He showed us through example this very verse. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Each one of us deserve eternity in hell because of our sin, but God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us so that we could be saved. That time at the cross when they mocked him, when they put that crown of thorns upon his head, when they beat him, when they put that robe and mocked him and said that he was the king of the Jews, and when they parted his garment, when they drove those nails into his hands, he said, Father, forgive them. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 17, the Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. Recompense to no man evil for evil. You know what that means? No paybacks. No, well, do you know what they did to me? And so now it's time for me to do to them. In a marriage, there's no paybacks. Well, they hurt me, so I have to hurt them. In relationships, as a Christian, there should be no paybacks. Well, you know what that person did? Now, at times, if we were honest, I'm sure we've said things like that. You know what that person's done to me? And Christ said, forgive them. If it's something evil that we think of someone, then we're not allowed to do it as a Christian. Do you know what they've done? You know why I'm thinking what I'm thinking? You know what I want to do? If it's evil, then we as a Christian are not allowed to think it. We're not allowed to behave that way. No paybacks for a Christian. In verse number 19, the Bible says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Venge not yourselves. We're not to pay back evil with evil. We're not to be wronged and then our motive now is to wrong that person, to show them. You see, if someone does something to us, we are allowed by the Christian principles to go and attempt to make it right. That's what we are allowed to do. But if Pastor Oscar wrongs me, you know what I am allowed to do to him? Go make it right. You know what I'm not allowed to do to him? Avenge evil for evil. No paybacks. I am allowed to attempt to make it right. I am not allowed as a Christian to try to get revenge. You know, if they don't receive it, I'm still not allowed to revenge. Well, I tried to make it right and he didn't want me to make it right, so now payback's coming. No. As a Christian, the Bible says, avenge not. It means this. He wrongs me, then I am right to go get it right with him. And if he still doesn't accept it, I'm still not allowed now to have a vengeance toward him. It's a tough place to be as a Christian, isn't it? Because reality is this. When we get hurt, it hurts. When our feelings get hurt, when we get offended, it hurts. But the Bible says we're not to avenge ourselves. We give place to our wrath. You know what that means? Put it in its right place. He hurts me, offends me. You know what the place to put it is? At the foot of the cross. It's not to put it toward him. It's not to put the wrath that's created in my heart and the hurt that's created in my heart to put it back toward him. I'm going to put it in its rightful place, and that's this. I put it at the foot of the cross where Christ has already forgiven it and leave it there so that I don't think about avenging someone that I love. Well, they'll just get away with it if we don't deal with it. You ever say that? If I don't handle it. If I don't deal with it, then they're going to get away with it. And a matter of fact, if we're not careful, we'll say, and it'll happen to someone else like we're doing it so nobody else gets hurt in the future. The truth of the matter is this, God's going to handle things. Every Christian must understand this principle here. Someone wronged you. It is not your place to avenge that wrong or go back or pay back that wrong. It's my place to attempt to get it right. If that person does not want it resolved, then I cannot then go to avenge them. I've got to give it to God and let God handle it. You know, that's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? It's hard. We're human, aren't we? I know I am. and it hurts. Why are we not allowed to recompense evil for evil? Why are we not allowed to? You see, we as human beings, we make either poor or hasty judgment or decisions, don't we? Do you ever think someone wronged you and you get upset with them only to find out it was a miscommunication, it didn't happen the way you thought it happened? Am I the only one that's been that way? Think something wrong only to find out it wasn't? You see, if we're not careful as human beings, we can look at a situation and we can think that it's a certain way only to find out that what we thought isn't right, but we've handled it incorrectly and now we've really caused a mess. Someone ever say something to you or do something and you thought something differently than what was true, you respond in such a way and now there's hurt. Now there's hurt. You ever say maybe to your spouse or a friend, I didn't mean it that way. That's not what I thought. That's not what I meant. You see, as long as we as humans communicate, there's always going to be a misunderstanding. And at times, that misunderstanding, if we're not careful, can cause us to make a decision, a poor decision or a hasty decision, and it may cause more hurt in that relationship than is needed. You see, this principle stops us from making a bad decision. You see, if I do not want evil, if I do not handle it my own way, if I do not seek revenge, then I cannot gossip. If I do not seek revenge or I do not try to avenge this situation, then I can't start a campaign against somebody if I'm letting God handle it. You know what's dangerous? What's really dangerous is when we're upset because someone has wronged us and we include someone else in that process. It becomes very dangerous. You don't have to raise your hand, and I hope I'm not stepping on toes. I'm just trying to pastor us here this evening. Have you ever been upset with someone because they hurt someone else that didn't even hurt you? Have you ever avoided someone because they hurt somebody else and you had nothing to do with it? But you were included in that hurt because someone shared with you what has happened. You see, by us just saying there's a problem and there's a situation and maybe I've tried to help and I've tried to make it better and that person's not allowed it to get better and we give it over to God and not share with others, what we do is we allow God to handle it and we help others by not having to put them in the middle of something. You see, God doesn't want us wasting time planning or plotting to get even or get back at somebody. You see, this principle allows us to spend our time on pure things and holy things and right things and not spend our time thinking about how we can get back at someone that's wronged us. You know, what happens is this, when someone wrongs you, if it's not dealt with correctly, it puts your mind in a mental prison. It puts you in a place where all you think or you're consumed with how you were wronged. How many are you with me tonight? You spend time thinking about what this person's done instead of being what you should be. You know, when I would get with my family, I love getting to the place with my wife, and she'll say to things like this to me, you know, when we're together, put your phone down and get right here with me. I want the best of you, not the rest of you after you're all discouraged with something. I want to spend time with you. I want you to spend time with your kids. I want you to spend time as a dad, as a husband. I don't want you to get your mind in a mental prison and it cause us to hurt our relationship because all I'm thinking about is someone that's hurt me. And so many relationships in our lives are hurt and not growing forward because we're putting hurt in our mind and we're thinking about it instead of putting it where it belongs and being what we need to be in other relationships. And now that hurt that's been caused by someone else, if we try to deal with it, is causing us not to be what we need to be to other people because it puts our mind in prison. We think about it. It causes you to get bitter. Bitterness is ugly on somebody, isn't it? How many of you have walked into a room and you thought, this is an ugly paint job? Not this room. You ever walk in a room? You walk into somebody's house and you're thinking to yourself, who picked out these colors? This is awful. And they're showing you, like, we just had the painters here. Isn't it beautiful? And you're thinking, and you paid for this? Bitterness is like an ugly color on a wall. Others see you and think, what is wrong? When a person comes to the place where they begin to recompense evil on somebody, or they try to deal and try to avenge the evil that's done upon them, or they don't give it to God and they deal with it themselves, it can cause someone to be bitter, and that bitterness is ugly in the life of somebody. And that bitterness that's caused by this hurt because we don't give it to God and let Him handle it, and we begin to get our mind in the mental prison, what happens is this: we begin to take that bitterness out on other people. We say, someone might say, what is wrong with that person? Oh, they were hurt years ago, and they've never got over it. It causes us to be bitter. If we're not careful, if we don't deal with hurt, and we don't deal with problems correctly, it causes us to have sleepless nights. You ever lay awake at night and think about someone that's wronged you? Let me ask you, when you woke up that morning and you felt awful, was it worth it? It'll cause us to become sick. You know, there's some that are sick because of hurt. It'll cause us to neglect legitimate needs in our life because we're not dealing with hurt properly. You see, Christ handled Himself on earth this way, and He told us that we are to behave in such a way we're never to avenge ourselves. We are never to try to make right what somebody else has made wrong. We are simply supposed to let God handle it. You say, but you don't know what they've done. God knows, and God said, I'll handle it. You know, we're forbidden by God to pass a judgment that brings back a penalty on someone that has hurt us. When the Bible says avenge not, you know what that means? We're forbidden by God to pass judgment on someone that brings a penalty to them that has hurt us. We're not to do that. It's a principle. We are allowed to go to them. We are allowed to separate ourselves if the relationship can't get better, but we are not allowed to recompense evil. In Proverbs chapter number 26, just flip over there, the verse that we read, the Bible says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. You know what? It means this. You're sitting there, you're digging a pit for someone else to fall into because they deserve it. You know what you end up doing? Digging that pit and you fall in it yourself. Or my way of getting even, I'm gonna roll this stone up the hill, and when the person passes by, I'm gonna allow that stone to fall on them because they deserve it. And what happens is this: as I'm rolling that stone to fall on someone else, it ends up falling on me. And the Bible says, so don't deal with it. Don't dig a pit so somebody else falls in it that's hurt you, because you're going to end up falling in it yourself. Don't roll a stone up so it falls on somebody, because it's going to end up falling on you. And because you're trying to handle something that is not yours to handle, it's going to come back and cause you harm. Let God handle it. God says, child of God, my child, don't worry. I'll handle this. You know, how many of us, if we're not careful, we cause hurt by trying to handle something that's hurt us. I want us to look at a story here quickly in 1 Kings chapter number 21. 1 Kings chapter number 21. There's a story of a man I want us to look at here. 1 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 King, 1 King 21. There's a story of Ahab and Naboth. How many of you know this story? Ahab says, I want Naboth's field. And Naboth said what? No, you can't have it. And so here the king Ahab goes and he throws a temper tantrum in front of Jezebel and says, I want this field and he won't let me have it. And she says, take it, you're the king. And he says, oh, I can do that? She says, you're the king, you can have whatever you want. And because he wouldn't take it, we say here in verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, and I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give an inheritance of my father unto thee. Naboth got upset. In verse number 15, and it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, they stoned him and they killed him because he would not sell or give his land to Ahab. She heard it, and she said, arise. She said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. That's just not right, is it? I mean, he wanted it. He told his wife, and she got it for him, and she killed him. It doesn't seem right. So you know what Ahab does? He goes out, and he plants his vineyard in it. It's his. It just doesn't seem right. But God saw. And it wasn't up to man to decide if it was right or wrong, because God already said it's not right. And he sends a prophet Elijah in verse number 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. In verse number 28, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, seeing that thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me, because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but in his son's day will I bring the evil upon his house. You know what we find here? We find that the Lord says to Ahab, and I'm going to deal with this. You've taken, and Naboth is dead, and it just doesn't seem right, but the vineyard is now his, and it just doesn't seem right. I want you to look with me in 2 Kings chapter number 9. 2 Kings chapter number 9. A battle takes place. Ahab's son is in this battle. Verse number 24, and Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram. You know who Jehoram was? His son. Ahab's son. He swung between his arms, and the arrow went out his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and the rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. You know what happened later on when God dealt with it? There was a battle that took place, and Ahab's son was killed, and the one that killed him said, take his body and throw it into the land that he stole from Naboth. Now think about this. God says, I saw it. I saw what you did. I saw what you've done to somebody. God recompensed Naboth's blood, and God said, I'm gonna deal with this. And Ahab was lusting over the ground, but what he really was looking at was the gravesite of his son. What Ahab thought was good, God said, I'm going to put your son there. Ahab was looking and saying, this is next to my palace. This is good ground. What he was lusting over was the gravesite of his son. So when God sees this evil, when God sees what happened, God said, I'm going to deal with it. Naboth was killed, and Naboth was murdered for no reason other than because he would not sell his plot of land. And you know, there wasn't a revolt from his family, and someone might have said, you know, this doesn't make sense. Somebody was innocent, and they were killed. Somebody was wrong. He was stolen from. And God said, I am going to deal with it. And listen to me, maybe you've been wronged, or maybe you've been lied about, or maybe somebody has hurt you. You need to realize, my friend, that God is the one that will deal with it. You don't have to. Ahab thought he wanted this so bad. You know what Ahab saw? Graveyard. He didn't think he was looking at a graveyard, but God said, you thought it was something you needed? I'll put your son there. Listen to me. God deals with our problems. God deals with wrong. Christians, we better be careful what we do to people in an evil way, whether you are the one that initiated or not. We need to be careful that we are not to avenge. We must be careful not to put ourselves in the place of God. Because what happens is this, when someone tries to deal with it themselves, they are saying, God, you don't know what's best. God, you can't handle this. I must do it for myself. And Christian, that puts you in a terrible place. When someone wrongs you, when someone has done something against you, instead of you plotting, instead of you planning, instead of you getting bitter, instead of you saying, I've got to deal with this, my reputation's on the line, my family's on the line, instead of us feeling we've got to do it, what we need to say is, God, I trust you to do it. It's not for me to handle. Listen, my friend, anytime we try to handle something that belongs to God, we'll mess it up every time. God can deal with it. God can handle it. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. It hurts. I have been hurt. I have been wrong. I have been wronged. And that person, I feel like they're going to get away with it. I feel like it's just going to go unnoticed. I feel like Naboth, that land was stolen and my reputation's been ruined. And listen to me, I want you to say that, understand that God is the one that will deal with it. And when you try to deal with it, you will make matters worse. Christian, we must follow the principles that God laid out. When we get hurt, when problems come, you know, I think of Esther chapter 9 when we hear about Haman, his hatred toward Mordecai. Think about what happened in that situation. Haman was so bitter. He was so upset. He built these high gallows for everyone to see. And he said, I'm going to build them and I'm going to hang Haman because I hate him and I'm going to put him on these gallows for everyone to see. And what happened? Haman hung. But not only Haman hung, his children hung as well. Listen to me, tonight, Ahab's, his son was buried in that field because of Ahab's sin. Haman's children were hung on those gallows because of a terrible mistake, terrible sin that Haman had done. And listen to me, if you're a parent here tonight, you have got to deal with problems correctly because it might not be you that it comes out against, it might be your children. I don't want my children to grow up in a home, raise them in church, put them in a Christian school, teach them the principles of God. And as parents, we deal with principles opposite than what we're telling them is right. I want to teach my children that when someone wrongs you, you let God deal with it. You know the best way to teach that parent is when someone wrongs you to show them God deals with you. You don't have to. In front of your children is not the time, is not the place to criticize and tear down and rip people apart. In front of your children is not the place for your bitterness to come out and to show them, boy, I'm going to get evil with that person. Your children, if someone has wronged you, your children should not know. I'm going to say that again. Right now you could say amen right there. If someone has wronged you, your children should not know. It's not their place. If someone has wronged you, God knows. And when God knows, He said, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with that problem. Don't let that bitterness seep into the others that you love. You see, our retaliation could affect people we love. I make it a practice. I know this right now. We've only been here 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, the truth is we haven't had time yet to make enemies. But you know as well as I know, it'll come. Problems will come. Disagreements will come. You're not going to agree with everything I do. It's impossible. We're human. But I can guarantee you this as your pastor. You and I can disagree, but my wife's not going to know. You and I might have a situation and we might have to talk it through or might have to deal with it, might have to counsel upon it, but I'm not going to bring it home and cause my wife to bear a burden that's not hers to carry. I'm not going to sit my children down and say, you know what brother or sister so-and-so did? You and I could disagree and my wife could come up and be your best friend. And you know what? If that's the case, I like it that way. Because I don't want anything to cause my wife to stumble because of a situation I'm dealing with. I can assure you that as your pastor. No issues I want to bring home and hurt the relationship of those I love. No issue I want to bring home and cause my wife to worry. No issue that I want to bring home and cause my wife to get bitter towards somebody else. Listen to me, that's the way it ought to be as a Christian. We ought not bring that in the life of someone else. God is perfectly capable of taking care of His children. Do you agree with that? Isn't that good? You know, we can take rest right there that when someone wrongs us, God is perfectly capable of taking care of His children. I love it when our children have a problem and they come to Dad. You know, when they get hurt, and I don't like my children getting hurt, but when they do, you know who they want? Mom or Dad. When they come to you and they skin their knees or they got hurt and they just want your love, and you know, you kid around as Dad, you want me to cut your knee off? Do we need to take you to the hospital? We can get you a new knee? No, Dad, and they start laughing. And they fall in your arms, and just being in your arms makes them feel better. And they almost forget the hurt that they're feeling. They forget the fact they were crying. They forget that they had fallen. Why? Because Dad's taking care of it, or Mom's taking care of it. All they need to go to is their parent, knowing this. If I just get to them, the pain's going to go away. And listen to me. If you've been hurt, if you've been wrong, if there's heartache, or maybe someone's done evil against you, I submit this to you tonight. Fall into the arms of your Heavenly Father and let Him help you with that pain. The best place you can go is to the Savior when someone's hurt you. He is perfectly capable of taking care of His children. As Christians, by God's power, we've got to let things alone and let God deal with it at times. If you feel used and you feel abused and you feel hurt, yeah, but are you going to be right with God and let Him handle it? Or are you going to take matters into your own hands and hurt your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Christian, it takes more power, it takes more strength, it takes more character not to get back at someone than it does to get back at somebody. It takes more character not to retaliate. It takes more faith to trust God. It takes more wisdom to realize you may make a hasty decision. You may make a wrong decision, and I better just let God handle this. You're persecuted. You're lied about. Talked about. Someone's been ugly to you. Someone's been unkind to you. Christian, there's no place in our actions to take matters into our own hands. There's no place. There is no place, according to Romans, we are to be slow to speak. We're to be slow to action. We're to be slow to accuse. We're to be slow to gossip. We're to be slow to avenge. We're to be slow to make it right by our standard. We're to be slow to justify it ourselves. We're to be slow to speak evil. Remembering this, it was my sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross. And no matter what someone else has done against me, it doesn't compare to what I did to Jesus. No matter how much someone has hurt me, my sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. And He said, Father, forgive them. He said, love thy neighbor. Bless them that curse you. You see, you can only do this if you're empty. Empty yourself of pride. Empty yourself of self. Empty yourself of hurt. Empty yourself and see Jesus work in your life. Are we going to get hurt in our life? Raise both hands. It's me. Have you been hurt? Raise both hands. I've been hurt. What's the biblical principle? Recompense no evil for evil. Let God handle it. Let Him avenge it. It may take a little bit of time. It might not happen when you want it to happen. It might hurt for a little bit of time. You might say, God, are you there? Do you understand? He hurt me yesterday, and I'm still living today, and you've not dealt with it. It's all in God's timing. Ahab, you thought you got the vineyard? Your son got a graveyard. It might not happen in the time you think it ought to happen, but God is always right. God is always fair, and God will deal with it in His timing, in His way. So if you've been hurt, what do? Lay it at the feet of the cross. Let God handle your hurt. You can walk away with joy, with peace, with contentment. That's the way a Christian ought to live. What I got, I want everyone else to have. When I get burdens, I can give them to Jesus. When I get hurt, I can lay it at the cross. When I get offended, I can lay it at the cross. You say, how can you smile if someone's hurt you? Because I just think of what I've done to Jesus. And He said, Father, forgive them. I got saved. Born again. You know what I deserve? Hell. I deserve eternity apart from God, but God loved me so much. He said to His Son, I love mankind so much. I need you to leave this perfect place, and you've got to go and become sin. And it's going to be a period of time, even when you're on the cross, where we're going to be separated, but it's for man's sake. And think about it. If you'll go to the cross and you'll be the redeemer of all mankind, that mankind can be redeemed back to their heavenly Father. I think God can handle our problems, don't you? I think God can handle our hurt. You know, marriages can be restored if you let God handle it. Relationships with children can be restored if we let God handle it. Church members can become friends again if we let God handle it. I wonder tonight if there's someone that has hurt you. Have you handled it correctly? If not, tonight I would challenge you, take these principles from Romans chapter number 12 and Proverbs here. Take these principles and apply them to conflict in your life, and you'd be amazed what God can do.